السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الكریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. In the last period we discussed certain aspects with regards to مہر, with regards to giving مہر at the time of nikah. Now this is obviously a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah Ta'ala must give us the tawfiq to keep alive till Qiyamah. This aspect of mehr must stay alive till Qiyamah. With regards to mehr, there are certain shortcomings, certain mistakes that we are making, right? Number one is a shortcoming from the girl side. Some families think that it is a source or a way, you know, to get some honor, to stipulate a very high mehr, right? So they stipulate exorbitant amounts as mehr. Now this happened and is still happening a lot in Arab countries, and we find that by doing this, many of their daughters can't get married now, because there's nobody who got that kind of money to pay the mehr. Now very few people will have that kind of money. Now whether they're going to choose that particular girl. So many girls are just sitting now, they're not getting married. To really see the nahusat, to really see the ill effect of stipulating very, very high mehr, you just have to look into our Zulu community, right? In the Zulu community, they got something that is called labola. Now that labola is sometimes 14 cows, 11 cows, don't know how many cows they have to give in order to get their wife, right? Now this fitna has become such, because at one stage they were all farmers, so they all had the cows. So you want to get married, they give the girl's father so many cows. But their concept, labola is not meher. Because labola was something that is given to the girl's father. Islamic concept is mehr is given to the girl. It's hers, belongs to her, not her father and mother and all of that, right? But I'm just explaining to you that when exorbitant amounts are stipulated for mehr, so what you find amongst the Zulu community now, they go out, they have children, they are committing zina, everything, but they're not married. They're not married. Why? Because I didn't pay labola. So it breeds a society of zina, right? So some families think that now we must put high mehr to show that, you know what, our daughters are very, very precious. Mehr is not you buying that person. You're going to buy a Toyota Corolla is a certain price. You're going to buy a Rolls Royce is a certain price. So now you say, no, you see, our daughters in our family, they are very expensive. They're not commodities to be sold. Mehr is not a purchase price for somebody. So there is no sense in stipulating a high mehr to say, no, the daughters in our home, they are very, very valuable, so you have to pay a lot to get them. This is incorrect, right? It's not a tool of proving who is superior and who is more honorable, etc. This mehr is something that is a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the sunnah is what needs to be upheld. Now if we want to uphold the sunnah properly, then we must go back and see what mehr did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam give, right? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never stipulated an exorbitant amount for mehr. The amount that was common, one was the mehr that Najashi gave, right, to one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. That was from his side. He gave very high mehr, he gave. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he gave mehr for any of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in, and also when he got his daughters married, then the mehr that he stipulated is what we call mehr-e-fatimi, right? Mehr-e-fatimi, why they call it mehr-e-fatimi? Because Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala gave this amount of meher for Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. But it's not only that amount which Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu gave to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave this same amount to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in. And the other daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also that got married, the same amount of meher was stipulated. Right? 500 dirhams. Right. Now how we work it out, in today's times also, we have Mehre Fatimi, at present it has come down a little bit. So anybody interested in getting married, now is the right time. Mehre Fatimi is, it's just light-hearted, right? See, this message here that I received on the 9th of the 2nd, Mehre Fatimi was sitting at 10,410 rand and 12 cents. Right, at present it's 10,000 rand and couple of cents. It's come down even more. A few months back, it was gone up to 13,000. 13,000. I don't know if it went up to 14. Right. So this fluctuates. It fluctuates. What's our what do we use to calculate? We got to go back in time and see 500 dirhams. A dirham is a silver coin. So 500 dirhams is equal to how much silver, right? So in those days they used to weigh by tolas, not kilograms and grams. So it was 131.25 tolas, right? Which in our times is 1.75 kgs of silver. 1.75 kgs of silver. Now 1.75 kg sounds like little, but in silver it's a lot, right? In millimil it's little, in silver it's a lot, 1.75 kgs of silver, right? So in any zamana, in any era, we will have to check what is the rand value of 1.75 kgs of silver. So silver and gold price fluctuates. Sometime it comes down, sometime it goes up, right? So whatever the price is for 1.75 kgs of silver at any time, any given time, that will be Mehre Fatimi, right? So as I said to you, at present it's about 10,000 rand, right? And so this is what we should look at when we're asking for meher. A man who's got a daughter and he has to stipulate a meher for his child, this is what he must look at, the Mehre Fatimi amount, right? So there's no need to stipulate big amounts, right? When big amounts are stipulated, then as we said, sometimes a girl can't get married after that, and creates a lot of ill feeling, argument. They start thinking bad about that family. Look, these people are gold diggers. It is after our money. They're setting so high amounts. Right? So that is the first evil that is creeping into this aspect of meher. That people are thinking that, you know what, the way marriages are going in today's time, people are just getting divorced and all that. Now our daughter is getting married there. And what if she gets divorced? So she needs to have something. So we want 100,000, 200,000 meher. We want a house and a car as meher. We want this as meher, that as meher. Right? So this can have an adverse, it can have a negative impact, can have the opposite impact. Sometimes a man is not happy with his wife. Right? But now he gave a high meher now, he gave her. So he's feeling very hard to divorce also, because if he divorces her, the house is gone, the car is gone. All these things he gave as meher. So he doesn't divorce her and her life is a misery also, and they're carrying on living like this. So rather stick to Mehre Fatimi. Stick to Mehre Fatimi. We will be making amal upon the sunnah of giving meher, and we will be making amal upon the sunnah of the amount that we are giving also. Two sunnats. Right? It was the habit of many of our akabirin that whenever they were asked to perform a nikah, they would say, no problem, I'll perform the nikah, but the meher must be stipulated as Mehre Fatimi. So they used to revive the sunnah of making amal upon Meher-e Fatimi. Right? So the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is what is supposed to be upheld. The amount of mehr that is given does not now become the deciding factor of whether this girl is an honorable girl or not. Her price is so much, because you're not buying anybody. You're not buying anybody. Right? Number two. The second shortcoming is that now, Maulana is talking about in India, right? That in many villages, there is a stipulation of an excessively paltry amount of mehr. This is the direct opposite now. They say, no, 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 you see, we got nothing to do with the dunya. We're not greedy people. We're not here for your son's money. Right? So, just give us 10 rupees, is okay. Right? Paltry amount, small amount. Right? Now, this too is incorrect. This too is incorrect. If nobility and piety was in a lady accepting very, very small amount of mehr, then the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in would have done that. But they didn't do that. They accepted Meher-e Fatimi. Right? So our deen has got a balance. On the one side, you don't go to the extremes now and giving high, high mehr. On the other side, you don't go and give something so paltry. Stick to Meher-e Fatimi. I mean, in today's times, 10,000 rand is what? What is ready 10,000 rand in today's time? It's nothing in today's time, 10,000 rand. You can't even, 1 month's expenses is difficult to take out with 10,000 rand. For a man with a wife and children and he has to pay rent, lights, water, all that. To take out that amount, 10,000 rand will just, like water, it is gone in 1 month. So this too is incorrect, right? What we must remember is, in the Shariat, in the Hanafi Mazhab, we have got a guide which is a Meher-e Fatimi, right? That is our guide. There is no stipulation or there is no maximum when it comes to how much you want to give. If the man after that feels he wants to give 1 million rand, left up to him. Right? The girl is not demanding. She's saying, look, I just want Meher-e Fatimi. Right? But the husband after that, he feels, no, I want to give her 1 million rand meher. Well, left up to him. It's his choice. He can give how much he wants to give. Right? But there is a stipulation with regards to the minimum amount. We cannot give less than the minimum amount. Now, this is not in the Shafi Mazhab. Shafi Mazhab, they got no minimum amount. But in the Hanafi Mazhab, we got a minimum amount. Right? So, as I said to you, Meher-e Fatimi is 1.75 kgs of silver. The minimum amount, right, is 10 dirhams. 10 dirhams is equal to 40 grams of silver. So, less than that cannot be given in the Hanafi Mazhab. So, one will have to check from time to time what is the, how much is 40 grams of silver. So, it can be 200 and some odd rand, maybe 400 rand, 300, whatever the fluctuation is at that time. So, a person cannot give less than that amount as mehr. Right? You have to give at least that amount. Best is to give Meher-e Fatimi. And there is no roof to the maximum. Whatever more than that a person wants to give, it's left up to him. He can give how much he wants to give. Right? The third point is, many people downscale the importance of discharging the mehr. They don't take it like a serious thing. My wife, no? If I give her, I give her. If I don't give her, I don't give her. You know, this is what happens between husband and wife in many aspects, in many things, right? For example, now I'm talking about a husband and wife who got a good relationship, not people who are now, you know, they're worried about every penny and every cent and all of that. For example, now you went to town, right? Now you needed to get a couple of things from the bakery, and you needed to get a couple of things from the butcher. So you went to the butcher, and you told your wife, "Man, you know, we're running late, there is all time. Just run quickly there to the bakery, get a couple dozen rolls and something, I'll meet you in the car." Right? Now if she went and she used her money and she bought those rolls, she's not going to come with a slip now and tell you, "Hey, you're owing me 20 rand here for the rolls, oh, my 20 rand back." Unless you also behave like that. But otherwise, she's not going to do that. Right? Tomorrow she wants something, a personal item of hers or something, you went and bought it for her. You don't come with a slip now, hey, pay me. So this is a relationship between husband and wife. You don't, now if she invited her family home and she cooked three chickens to feed her family, now are you going to go with the invoice now, hey, you fed your family here, this wasn't my family's dowry. Your family's dowry, three chickens, they ate in house. We were only supposed to cook one chicken, the other two chickens, please shall out. You don't work like that. How are you going to live like that? Right? So, you say everything now is all in one pot, man. We carry on. But not the meher. Meher don't work like that. Meher doesn't work like that. Look, look. What I said to you just now, what I said to you just now, is how we would live, right? But if you want to live by the book, you got the right to do it. You can live by the book. The husband gives his wife nafaka, right? He gives his wife certain amount of spending. That's for her own personal use, right? We'll come to the explanation of nafaka and all that. But that's for hers. Over and above that, he gives her a budget for grocery, he gives her a budget for whatever. Right? Now, they go to town to buy some groceries. Now, they needed to go to two shops. So, he went in one shop. Now, she's not there. Now, he paid from his money. But the grocery money is by her. She's got the grocery money to pay for that, which he has given her. He can go and tell her, right, hey, 100 rand. Give me from that grocery money now, I used my 100 rand. What I'm saying is, you can live the life like that. You can. Within your right, there's nothing wrong. Right? If she wants some personal item of her own, you gave her her nafaka, she must buy from there. Right? So if she wants to entertain her family, she must use her nafaka to entertain her family. Understand? It is fine, no problem. But what we're saying is, we don't normally live like that now. You coming from work, you coming home, your wife phones you, hey, I'm feeling for a whole nut chocolate. So now you go and buy a whole nut chocolate, and you tell her, fellow, give me a 12 slip. Now you go home, you say, from your nafaka, now give me the money for the whole nut. We don't live like that. Right? But if a person wants to live like that, he can live like that, no problem. He can live. It's fine, he's within his right to live like that. But we don't normally live that way, right? But when it comes to meher, here it is a debt upon the person. He has to give that meher. He can't just take it for granted. Oh, it's my wife now, man. You carry on now. If I give it, I give it. If I don't give it, I don't give it. No. The meher must be given, right? In some societies, this is the next illness that has crept in, is people actually look down upon the woman if she asks for her meher. So you greedy, you came into this marriage for the meher. But you just married me only for the meher. What you harping about this meher story for all the time? It is her right. It is her right. Right, a meher was stipulated at the time of nikah. You are supposed to give that meher once the nikah is made. So it's no blemish on her if she's asking for her meher. She's only asking for what is her right. Okay? So there's no blemish on the woman. We mustn't think there's a blemish on her if she asks for her meher. Right? The fifth thing is that, say the husband got married, right? And now he doesn't give the wife the meher. At the time of the nikah, he didn't give the meher. 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, she passes away. Right? When she passes away, nobody thinks that, hey, we have to pay her her meher. Her meher now has to go into her estate. Whatever meher was owed to her must go into her estate. Right? Nobody thinks about it at that time. She's dead now, she's gone. Now what meher she's going to get now? No. The meher is a debt. So the husband, or even if you take it the other way around, say the husband passed away. If the husband passed away, before we wind up the estate, even though she's going to get a share from the estate, over and above that, her meher must be paid to her first. Because when a person passes away, before we start winding up the estate and giving the heirs all their shares, right, we have to first pay off the debts. So the meher is a debt that must be paid to the wife first. And then after that we will wind up the estate and give all the heirs their shares. So the meher is a debt on the husband. If the wife passed away and now we have to work out how much she is worth, the husband has to take the meher money and put it in her estate. Then from there, although he is going to inherit from there also, he is also going to inherit from her estate. But the first, the meher money must be put inside there. Right? So these are important things. The best is that at the time of nikah, pay the meher. Same time, give the meher. That is the same, the best route. Right? You know, if I tell you all, I tell you one incident, right? One girl got married, so they stipulated on the girl's party, never stipulate the heavy meher. The boy's side, they want to show now, you know, because the boy's side was not as wealthy as the girl's side. But now they want to show that, you know, we also can give, like, you know. So the boy's side gave one heavy meher in cash. They said, you know, so much meher. So they gave her a check. They gave her a check, a cash check for that amount. Right? Now when they came back home, so after 1-2 days they were going to leave now to go on holiday. Honeymoon, funny moon, you know. So they're going to go on holiday. So the father-in-law came to the daughter-in-law and is telling her that, you know, you're going on holiday now. Don't leave anything lying around and everything. And the check that I gave you, the check that we gave for meher, you give me the check, I'll cash it for you. When you come back, I'll give you the money. Now, the girl at that stage in her life, she's very trusting of her in-laws and she doesn't have any bad thoughts in her mind. So she gave the check to the father-in-law. Later in life, there was problems in this marriage. Right? There was problems in this marriage. And they were talking about divorce and, you know. So in one of the meetings, the wife said, but Maulana, these people are so terrible, they haven't even given me my meher as yet. Right? So the husband said, what you talking? We gave you the meher on the wedding day. I give you the check. So she said, yeah, but your father came and took the check away from me. He says, give me the cash, I'm still waiting. Asking the father, now the father is saying, I gave it to the son. The son is saying, I never got it. Now people do all funny things like this. With meher, right? The other thing that happens is, a person didn't give the meher, right? He didn't give the meher. And now a divorce takes place. A divorce takes place. When a divorce takes place, now if a person doesn't have taqwa, see, we go again to taqwa. What we are saying, why this verses of taqwa are recited in the khutbah of nikah? If people have taqwa, will they do things like this? Won't do things like this. But when we are void of taqwa, then we will do things of this nature. Right? So when a divorce takes place, now we haven't given the meher as yet, and a divorce takes place. Divorce takes place, now they don't ever give the meher. Forget the meher. You see, sometimes the girl now, she's young, she's got married, so now they gave her some jewelry and whatever. So now they say, we don't want to keep it in our house, we haven't got a safe. The girl is young, she won't be able to look after it. So take it, give it to the in-laws. But when a divorce takes place, she can't get those things back. Those were things that they had given to her. The dadima also gave one, two of her fat bangles. And, oh my daughter-in-law, we're getting now, never mind. Give from my side. Now what the mother will say, no, that's my mother's nisani that. Oh, she's no more in our family now, we can't give it to her. And you finish give it to her. She must take it and go. We will discuss more on this gifts, the gifts aspect of it, we'll discuss in the front. But the point here is that even if a divorce takes place, provided that marriage was consummated, that meher is binding. Divorce takes place also, no problem. But the meher still has to be paid. That is the right of the wife. So as I said to you, the best way is on the occasion of the nikah, make sure that the meher is given. Either just before the nikah or while the nikah. I remember my brother-in-law, I always tease him, when his nikah was taking place, so Maulana Umar Ji Sahib Rahmatullahi was still alive at that time, so he was performing the nikah. So when he read the nikah certificate, so he read how much the meher is, so he asked him, so you gave the meher already? Ne? So I think they had the meher by them, if I can remember correctly, or they had given it or something. No, they didn't give it as yet. They had the meher on them and they were going to give it now. When they go to the girl's house now after the nikah, they'll give the meher to the girl. So Maulana Umar Ji asked, did you give the meher? Now Maulana Umar Ji was very close with my in-laws family. So he could talk to them better. So he asked my father-in-law and his son, so you gave the meher already? So they said, no. He said, where's the meher? He said, no, we got it. He said, bring it. He took the mare, he gave it to the girl's father. So you receive the mare, there's a mare. Take the mare, right? So after that, I used to always tease my brother-in-law. I say, Maulana Umar Ji knew you. you won't give it after that. That's why you have to make sure you give it. You scan him, you won't give it later on. You play fools with him. He would have given it, honest chap. Another incident I saw, in Center Masjid, one nikah took place. I performed the nikah also. So, the meher was, I don't know how many thousand rand, right? So, the girl's father said, but I didn't get the meher still. They asked, where's the meher? So, the boy's party said, no, we got the meher. So, no, give it first. So they gave him the envelope with the money inside. They had it ready, the mayor. So they gave him the envelope with the money. He said, oh, wait. He opened the envelope. He counted the money. He counted the money. Only after that, when he was sure the money, everything is correct, then he said, right, perform the nikah. So a person has got the right to do these things. Right, but you must try either before the nikah or at least on the occasion of the nikah, give the meher away. A nice way is you give it to the father at the time when you know they're going to go to ask the girl for ijazat and all that. Give the meher before that, they know they got the meher by them. But make sure the father and the grandfather are also honest people, right? Otherwise sometimes you get crooks. Today, a lot of crooks you get, man. Yeah, now you gave couple of kruger coins or something as meher, that fellow, he forgets one kruger coin in his pocket. You won't say he stole it, he forgot it in his pocket. You know? He gives the, you give 3 crore coins, he gives 2, he keeps 1 in his pocket. He forgot it's there in his pocket. So you get all these problems. Khair. So what we will do in the next period is, there is an article that they have reproduced here of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali with regards to the Shari'i status of Meher. So we will, we won't read through that article, because everything has already been explained to you more or less with regards to Meher. We will now move on to the 2 types of Meher. The 2 types of Meher. We'll move on to that on page 48. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.